Blog Talk Radio.
Internet world, welcome to the Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you so much once again for taking time out of your busy day to join me today on my podcast. Today is Monday, September 25th, 2023. For the last 2 weeks, I have taken us back to the awful, unjust murder of Jina Mahsa Amini, which sparked the great uprising in Iran, which affected all of us all over the world, where Jina Mahsa Amini became a household name. And I've explored what has happened a year later, how the continual beating, oppression, and discrimination of women still continues. In fact, on the last program, we explored several stories of young female freedom fighters in Iran and what they are doing every day just to have a normal life. And as we have looked at the circumstances of the uprising, I've looked at the stories in my book, and you hear and see the evil that is going on in Iran. Sometimes it becomes just too overwhelming, and you ask the question that's on all of our hearts: what hope for us in the future? Does God have a plan for us? And of course, the answer to all of that is yes, he does. Many, many times in the past, I have talked about God's promise of a new heaven and a new earth. And I've explored this very beautiful topic in detail. But I believe it is absolutely imperative for me to share it with you again, especially if you're a Christian, because this is the promise of a future for us. This is a glorious promise that one day God will provide a brand new universe, if you will, a new heavens and a new earth. And the Bible has much to say on this topic. And for us who are Christians to look forward to our future, we never tire of that. It's so important. But what I also want to try to accomplish today is for those of you that are not certain about your future, you may not really know the Lord Jesus as your Savior and Lord, or maybe you're kind of in between, you're sitting on the fence, you're not sure of what to believe. I hope that I will persuade you in the next 20 or so minutes of this glorious promise of a new heaven and earth. Let's look at what Revelation chapter 21 has to say about this subject. The Apostle John is receiving this incredible vision as he is struggling as a Christian on the Isle of Patmos in 95 AD. God unveils to him this magnificent future. And toward the end of this vision, John is given this tremendous promise from God. And he writes in chapter 21, verse 1, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." What is this glorious vision that John is describing to us? What are the new heavens and the new earth? Well, the new earth is going to be the eternal dwelling place of believers in Jesus Christ. In fact, when you hear the term the new earth, the new heavens, it's sometimes referred to as the eternal state. And we don't have a lot of detail about it, but just enough to whet our appetite. The present earth, the present universe, the present heavens has been long subject to God's curse because of mankind's sin. All creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth, Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 22. It's awaiting the fulfillment of God's plan. Jesus said in Mark 13:31, "Heaven and earth will pass away," but he went on to say, "but my words will not pass away." And this old order of things will be replaced by a new heavens and new earth. And I love what God says in Revelation 21:5. "I am making everything new. Paradise will be restored. And in this new heavens and new earth, sin will be totally eradicated. There shall be no more curse." That is coming. We look at the mention in Scripture of this new heaven and earth, Isaiah 65:17, Isaiah 6:2, and 2 Peter 3:13. Peter describes this new heaven and new earth, a place where perfect righteousness dwells. Isaiah says these old former things will not be remembered. It won't come to mind. Everything will be completely new. And sorrow and tragedy will be gone. This new earth will be free from sin, evil, sickness, suffering, death. It's going to be perfect righteousness. It's going to be an earth as God originally, and the new feature of this new heavens and earth is the new Jerusalem. John calls it here the holy city. It's coming down out of heaven from God. He described it as prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. You've heard this before, I'm sure. This glorious city, its streets of gold, its pearly gates, is situated right there on the new earth. The tree of life will be there. And this city represents the final state of redeemed mankind. We are forever in the new heavens and earth. Scripture says there are seven things notable for their absence, seven things that are no more. No more sea, Revelation 21:1. No more death, Revelation 21:4. No more mourning, no more weeping, no more pain, no more curse, no more night. And the creation of the new heavens and the new earth brings the promise we'll wipe every tear from our eyes. All of this, of course, comes after the 7-year tribulation period, the second coming of Christ, after the 1,000-year millennial reign, after Satan's final rebellion, after the final judgment of Satan, after the great white throne judgment for the unbelievers who refuse to bow their knee to Christ. In this brief description of the new heavens and the new earth is the last glimpse into eternity that the Bible gives. But again, I want to emphasize, when you read these glorious promises, personal relationship with God through Christ, the only way you can realize these future promises is to come and know Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, one of the things I want to spend a little time on is the mention here in Revelation 21, verse 4, that God will wipe away every tear. I want us to examine this in light of the evil and suffering I've been talking about my friends in Iran. Revelation 21, 4, that talks about God wiping away our tears. It's a promise of restoration. God is going to a new reality. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. Now, some of us look at that and say, well, that's just wishful thinking. But for us who are believers, we find comfort and peace in this promise amidst the current brokenness in the world. The fact that God will one day wipe away every tear gives us hope. You know, years ago when Eric Clapton lost his son in a tragic fall off of a building, he wrote a song of tears in heaven. Well, according to God, though, there will be no tears in heaven. It's a promise that God will wipe away every tear. It gives us hope. There will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All those things are gone forever. No more curse. In place of the things that will be no more, God gives us 6 things. The new earth will have the new Jerusalem, the presence and glory of God, and the everlasting joy of the saints. In our present evil system, we grapple every day with good and evil, with tragedy. In our present earth, there are tears, there are sorrows, there are pains, there is suffering, sickness, death, accidents, natural calamities. And as the Bible describes in Romans chapter 8, 22, all of creation groans, if you will, waiting for God's full deliverance. Everything was subject to the curse when our first parents sinned. They brought sin and condemnation into the world. It affected all of creation. But this brings others view the problem of evil as the biggest objection to the existence of God, or at least his goodness and kindness. Well, Christians, though, are not without hope. Revelation 21:4, coming back to this, even though God subjected creation to the curse when Adam sinned, he promises to restore everything and establish a new order of life through Christ. The late Timothy Keller wrote, "The biblical view of things is resurrection. Sure, that is just consolation for the life we never had, but a restoration of the life you always wanted. This means that every horrible thing that ever happened will not only be undone and repaired, but in some way make the eventual glory and joy even greater. What a glorious future God has given us. And the question is, why does God allow evil and suffering to continue? We may not know the exact reason for all of that, but we are guaranteed that God is going to take away our misery and suffering. And he did it by taking on the curse himself when he died on the cross for our sins. He promises to turn all of our mourning into dancing, all of our sorrow into joy. C.S. Lewis grappled with the problem of evil, the great Oxford scholar, the writer of the Chronicles of Narnia and Mere Christianity. And he had to come through this process. He didn't believe in God at one time. And then he looked at the universe. And he said, my argument against God was that the universe seemed so cruel and unjust. But now how had I got this idea of just and unjust? What was I comparing the universe with when I called it unjust? Where did he get that idea? Well, when we think about the cruelty and the unfair suffering, we think about there has to be some good if there is evil. There has to be an objective standard of goodness. If we're willing to say there is no God, then you have to reckon with the idea that intelligent life, that this universe came about by random chance, just a throw of the dice. And you can't entertain that objection for very long. When science talks about a beginning of the universe, when science talks about the intricacy with the way our universe is held together, the fine-tuning of the universe, when you think about how everything is now, you know it couldn't have happened by random chance, luck, and random processes. There had to be an intelligent creator. But we think about the presence of brokenness of evil, and it points to an existence of a perfect good, a moral good. You cannot talk about suffering and evil unless there is a good God. Because if there is no God, then suffering and evil, right and wrong, are just relative terms, if you understand what I'm saying. And then you see the cross of Christ. And you see reflected in the cross of Christ a God who is willing to suffer to bring about goodness and forgiveness and reconciliation with his sinful mankind. But how do we have the certainty that this hope is true? Well, God says in his word, write these words down because they are faithful and true. And we look to the resurrection of Christ from the dead to realize that this promise in the future is absolutely true. Because Jesus bore our griefs and carried our sorrows in the cross, he died and rose again. Psalm 30, being may last through the night, but joy comes with the morning. The nighttime of this world, the suffering of this world brings sorrow, but sunrise is coming. And when that new day dawns, God will wipe away all tears. And it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. We have this promise. Let me say it once again. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, our crying, our pain, our mourning. The old order of things has passed away. And he who was seated on the throne says, I am making everything new. And then he wants us to understand that this is not wishful thinking. He says, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. What God says is absolutely true. He never makes a promise he cannot fulfill. He has a track record in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, that what God says is going to happen, it's going to happen. When he says this is true, this is true. And you can base your life on it. Write these words, for they are faithful and true. This morning, I want us to pause for a few minutes and listen to this beautiful worship song from Phil Wickham as he speaks about the great promise I've been teaching us about this morning, the hope, the promise of a new heavens and earth. This is Phil Wickham and Hymn of Heaven.
How I long to breathe the air of heaven, where pain is gone and mercy fills the street, to look upon the one who bled to save me and walk with him for all eternity. There will be a day when all will bow before him. There will be a day when death will be no more. Standing face to face with he who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. Every prayer we pray in desperation, the songs of faith we sing through doubt and fear. In the end, we'll see that it was worth it when he returns to wipe away our tears.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain.
beautiful song of worship, Phil Wickham, Hymn of Heaven. And Phil, of course, is singing about the realities I've been teaching us about this morning, about God's promise of a new heaven and earth. If you do not know Christ is your Lord and Savior, then the beautiful promise I've been expounding upon all morning doesn't apply to you. There is a terrifying judgment coming for those that reject the cross of Christ, that those that reject who Jesus is. But God is reaching out to you with his arms of love this morning to persuade you of who Jesus is, that he is the Lord God from heaven who came, died, and rose again for our freedom, for our hope, for our forgiveness, for our reconciliation. He is who he claims to be. And the promise of this glorious future where God will wipe away the tear from our eyes, there will be no more sorrow or mourning or pain or death, that is an absolute certainty that we look forward to. And if you don't know Christ, I persuade you this morning, I urge you this morning to cry out to God and say, show me your truth. Reveal yourself to me. Give me understanding. Is this true? And I promise you, God will answer that prayer. If you're an honest seeker, searching for what is true, will meet you right where you're at. And when he forgives you, he cleanses you from everything that was wrong. He wipes away your guilt and shame and gives you a new heart and a new spirit. And this morning, I want to thank you so much for spending time and going through this beautiful promise that God has given his church, his people. I thank you so much. I will see you again on Thursday on the cross in the desert. Have a great week.